2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. KSL News Time is 5:30.
It's 32 degrees.
Crash-free on our roadways. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
KSL's top story this hour.
We're learning new details this morning about a school shooting in Oxford, Michigan that left three students dead and many others injured.
ABC's Alex Stone begins our coverage.
The most critically injured range in age from 14 to 17 years old, shot in the neck, chest, and head. One is on a ventilator. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard says a 9mm semi-automatic handgun was bought by the boy's father last Friday. But the boy and his parents won't talk to police.
With his parents present, he declined to speak, and they have hired an attorney. So there is no conversation that's going on and no cooperation at that level.
A motive for the attack is a mystery today. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Overnight, the FBI and local law enforcement searched the home of the 15-year-old shooting suspect. Neighbor Scott Ojala says their entire community is in shock.
My heart really goes out to our whole community, and especially to some friends that I've heard that I know that I've lost their loved one.
Investigators are going over the suspect's social media channels to see if they can find clues as to why the attack happened.
The school shooting in Michigan has districts here in Utah once again looking at their policies. A spokesperson for the Canyon School District tells KSL-TV's Debbie Worthen they're more prepared for a situation like the one in Michigan because of a shooting here back in 2016.
The shooting happened when two boys planned a fight. The 14-year-old, a student at Union Middle School. The 16-year-old attended Hillcrest High. The victim in this case survived, and the district got to work, admitting they hadn't updated their policies since they became a district in 2009. The district now uses the Safe UT app, which allows students, teachers, and others to report things that don't seem quite right.
Debbie says before COVID hit, the district was working on a new app that would let teachers, staff, and law enforcement communicate in real time.
A road in downtown Salt Lake City is reopened after a fuel spill dumped 100 gallons of diesel into a storm drain. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly is live with the details. Heather?
Tim, the hazmat crews say they captured most of the fuel before it reached any waterways, but say 10 gallons of the diesel soaked into the soil. This happened near the Gallivan Center on 200 South yesterday morning. The Salt Lake Tribune reports it took crews nearly 6 hours to mop up the mess. A semi-truck driver hit a barrier and ruptured its fuel tank, sending the 100 gallons of fuel down the drain, which was flushed out. Officials say the spill was unintentional, so the semi-driver most likely won't face any charges. Live, Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
A funeral home director in Logan is sentenced for stealing money from clients and is going to have to pay back a lot of money. KSL News Radio's Jacob Rueda joins us live. Jacob?
Amanda, 47-year-old Lonnie K. Nyman was sentenced during a virtual court hearing to repay more than $500,000 to victims. Nyman sold prepaid funeral trust accounts, which he then used the money for his own purposes. He had accepted a plea deal where he would plead guilty to what the Cache Valley Daily calls a pattern of unlawful activity, unlawful dealing with property by fiduciary, and communications frauds, all of which are second-degree felonies. Nyman's defense lawyer said he would serve a one-year jail term but would be given credit for time already served as part of a plea deal. Live in the news center, Jacob Rueda, KSL News Radio.
The fate of Roe v. Wade will be the focus of the Supreme Court today as the court hears arguments on a Mississippi law that would ban abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Sharif Jaris is a professor at Notre Dame Law School.
This is the most important Supreme Court case on abortion since Roe in 1973, and I don't think it's particularly close.
The High Court has never allowed state abortion bans to take place before the fetus is roughly 24 weeks old.
The FDA advisory panel has voted in favor of authorizing Merck's first antiviral pill.
The pill was found to be 30% effective, not as high as expected, and advisors questioned whether it would be safe for children and pregnant women. The final decision now goes to the FDA, but this would be the first antiviral COVID pill you can take at home with a prescription.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos.
Two women and two men have been selected so far in the trial of former Minnesota police officer Kim Porter. She's accused in the shooting death of Dante Wright.
The defense attorney is announcing during jury selection that former police officer Kim Porter, who says she mistakenly shot Dante Wright with her gun instead of a taser, will take the witness stand in her own trial. Potter, who's charged with first and second-degree manslaughter, says she pulled 20-year-old Wright over for expired tags when she discovered he had a warrant for his arrest. Lawyers for Potter, a former 26-year police veteran, argue she intended to grab her taser when she mistakenly grabbed her gun and pulled the trigger.
ABC's Alex Perez.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.